Our next presenter is Rob Stevenson. Rob is a research scientist with DFO and a professor at the St. Andrews Biological Station at the University of New Brunswick. He's also the lead investigator on the Canadian Capture Fisheries Research Network, which started probably, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, Rob, and is going to extend over the next several years. And it's a unique partnership. It's pan-Canadian, and it involves social and natural scientists and many fishermen's organizations from across the country. So it is an ongoing opportunity, I think, to keep this conversation going.
Thank you, Barbara. And what I want to do now is to look forward at research needs in order that I can put some things on the table I hope that are relevant to this afternoon's discussions. And I want to do that from three perspectives. The first is to touch on some of the things that we've heard at this meeting so far. Secondly, the viewpoint of the Canadian Fisheries Research Network, which is another initiative very related to this that I have the privilege of being the PI on. And the third is some personal observations and perspective. So a few things that we've heard at this meeting, and of course this has been a very rich meeting, so this is just a small subset. But let me put a few things on the table. First, we heard on the first day about environmental complexity and climate change that will require that we be nimble, that we expect the unexpected. We heard also from Ratana's talk of diverse, complex, and dynamic natural and social systems operating at multiple scales. We heard from Patty Williams about a broken system, an empire of silos. Carolyn, in one of her summaries, said, "We've lost our community spirit. That's why we're having so much trouble rebuilding." Charmaine, in a summary, said, "There's no clear vision, values, or principles." She also said that we've been complacent. We've allowed things to happen. And David Decker, last night, following the political panel, asked the question, "Are you opposed to the corporatization of our fisheries?" Bonnie McKay, in the beginning of her talk, asked a very interesting set of questions. These were also touched on by George Rose and others about the cod fishery. Who will fish for it? How? Why? And for whose benefit? What do these tell us about research for rebuilding? I think they tell us a lot of things, including these. First of all, it's an understatement that there are some shortcomings of the current system. We can anticipate major change. We are in a time of great change. That change will be complex. It involves both change in the natural system and change in the social systems that are operating, and these are operating at very different scales. And also that there is some urgency to develop the information, the tools, and the approaches that will be useful in this evolution. So let's ponder that and move to say what change can we expect? And to start this, I want to put something on the table. It's a case study from another area. It wasn't presented formally at this meeting, but it was alluded to, especially in Maria Recchia's presentation, and that is a situation in the Bay of Fundy, in which there are a lot of activities, as we see in the coastal zone around here. And those activities have led to several years of consideration of how we plan for the use of multiple activities in the coastal zone, especially the conflict between traditional fisheries, the Weir fishery for herring and the Purse Seine fishery for herring, and the emerging aquaculture industry. Is no longer emerging. It's been there now for 20 years. But the conflict between these two industries in the Bay of Fundy and the continual problem that both the federal and the provincial government were having with the conflict between these two industries caused the governments to suggest or to ask or to challenge a group to come up with a plan that would overcome the conflict and plan for diverse use of the marine space. So for several years, there has been an initiative called the Southwest New Brunswick Marine Resource Planning Initiative that has wrestled with this idea. Can we come up with an integrated plan that would overcome or reduce this conflict? And I want to touch on some of the major observations from this initiative. First of all, there's no question there's competition for space and conflict regarding the use of that space. But more than that, extensive interviews in the area and discussions among the groups suggested that many of the things that people wanted to achieve, that they value in that area, are not currently being considered adequately in management. That we need a more diverse set of objectives for the area that reflect what they called community values. And I'll touch on that a bit in a minute. That these community values need to be applied to all activities, and that we need a process that's open and transparent and participatory in which to discuss these values. So what are these community values? These are things that the community at large care about or value. Environmental, social, cultural, economic, institutional. So-called goods and services or valued or including goods and services and valued ecosystem components. And there are many. They range from economic activity through to conservation of natural parts of the environment, species at risk, and so on. These are diverse. And the Marine Resource Planning Group tried to articulate these. And this is the list they came up with. Maintain productivity, preserve biodiversity, protect habitat, protect heritage, maintain community health and well-being, promote local employment and prosperity, and do this in an effective, which they explicitly said was transparent, accountable, and participatory management regime. And they recommended that a more diverse set of objectives reflecting these community values be applied to all existing and proposed activities in this area in an open and transparent way. And they proposed a council as the way of doing this, a very participatory council as the way of doing this. Now, I put this on the table because it is a very clear example that given the challenge of coming up with a solution, people are capable of doing it. You know, they're capable of articulating what it is that's wrong and coming up with a practical way around it. Now, to this point, there has not been a council established. What has been established is a Marine Advisory Committee. But the point is that this group was able to suggest a very practical way forward. So with that on the table, let's move now to some other reflections on management. We touched yesterday on integrated management. And I was about to say then, but didn't, because I knew I wanted to say it today, that in spite of an early Oceans Act, one of the earliest in the world, in fact, I think the earliest in the world, right, Canada has been slow to take action to implement ecosystem-based management or integrated management. We have made some progress. In my time, which now is close to 30 years with the Department of Fisheries and Oceans in science, we've moved from scientific advice, which was based on basically two things, population productivity and population diversity, basically how many fish are there to be taken the next year, to a much broader set of conservation objectives that include productivity, biodiversity, and habitat. And more than that, to discussion of this nebulous thing, social and economic objectives, as yet undefined. And I will observe that society's expectation recently is greater than the minimum established in our policies and laws in this country. That is, more is being expected of us in management than our current acts require. We require this social license, and I hear fishermen using this term, social license. That is, they have their DFO license, they realize, though, unless they keep peace with society, they'll be off the water. Very powerful. We've heard some criticisms of current management, and I keep a list. They include these. One, that the activities are managed by different groups using very different tools, standards, and approaches. Think of fisheries and aquaculture, managed federally versus provincially using very different approaches. There's insufficient attention to social, economic, and institutional aspects. That's a widespread concern. There's insufficient consideration of cumulative effects of management, that is, cumulative effects of multiple fisheries, let alone cumulative effects of fisheries plus aquaculture plus energy plus transportation and so on. There's a perception of a lack of transparency and a lack of participation in management. And there's insufficient public appreciation of the trade-offs among activities when decisions are made. We tend to have in this country well-vetted ecological or scientific advice, peer review process for that, but then that advice goes into a rather closed tube, and decisions are made without much discussion. There's consultation, but without much discussion and with insufficient transparency. Now, if you think about these criticisms, some of them could be changed with the current structure. The current system could be more transparent. It could be more participatory. But some others could not. We don't have a structure for allowing social, economic, and institutional aspects to be considered together. We don't have a structure or the methods for evaluating cumulative effects. Some of these require major change. And if we then were to do a report card on our coastal or resource management, we'd say that, yes, there's been some recent evolution, considerable recent evolution, and we would claim to be managing activities using an ecosystem approach or approaching an ecosystem approach. But there's insufficient consideration of cumulative effects. There's a lack of integration or even of articulation of a full suite of conservation, social, and economic and institutional objectives. And there's no structure for consideration of trade-offs. There's no structure in this country for integrated management at this point. There is some good news. For example, the Sustainable Fisheries Framework demands integrated fisheries management plans. They're called integrated fisheries management plans. And they require attention to social and economic aspects. However, there's no recipe for that. And DFO seems to be retreating to consideration of conservation and prosperous fisheries in policies that talk about sustainable development or responsible resource development, depending upon the day, if you look on the web. But DFO seems to be retreating, and I say this with respect, but they seem to be retreating to what they consider to be their core business, and it's basically conservation and a few other things. I am inspired, however, by some reports, including the report of the Office of the Auditor General from December of last year, which said that we need explicit objectives related to four things: healthy ecosystems, sustainable human use, social and cultural well-being, economic well-being, and collaborative governance and integrated management. This is a really nice list. I was really pleased to see this. Unfortunately, that report is of no standing. It's a discussion piece. But I was very inspired to see that list, because I think it's fair to conclude that the increased scope of sustainability, as we now perceive it in this country and around the world, should be not just a healthy stock, but a healthy fishery. That is, to definitely include ecological, economic, social, and institutional aspects. And I would also say, related to this conference, that rebuilding offers an opportunity to improve upon the situation, maybe to get it right. So that begs the question, what is a viable, sustainable, vibrant fishery, and how can we get there? The Fisheries Resource Conservation Council reports, the last two, on herring and on rebuilding groundfish, talks about four principles. First, an ecological principle, meeting the needs of the present without compromising on the future. Second, robust, resilient approaches to natural, social, and economic change, that is, social and economic objectives, to create long-term social, cultural, economic benefits for individual and for community, and that governance should be effective, participatory, transparent, efficient, and accountable. I think that's a pretty nice list that was recommended by the FRCC. So how do we achieve, or how might we achieve, an ecosystem approach in integrated management? We need more objectives, more diverse objectives, and they have to be common, I believe, with higher standards reflecting precautionary approach, ecosystem approach, and so on. But basically, more diverse objectives. We need to apply these to all activities so that we can evaluate cumulative effects. And we need an appropriate governance structure in which issues can be articulated, compared, and used as the basis for rational decisions. And this has to be a participatory process, and it has to have the appropriate jurisdiction to get on with the job. Is this practical? Can this occur? I suggest yes, and I suggest in thinking about how it might occur, given my very pragmatic or practical constraints of you know, working with government and knowing that we don't have a blank slate. We need to get somewhere from what we've got now. We need to modify the current system. I suggest that we will always have management plans for fisheries and for aquaculture and for energy and for transportation, separate management plans. We're too far down that road to change. But that what we need to do is to increase our set of objectives applied to all of those. Now, we already see that our management plans are becoming more diverse. They are including more objectives each year, especially in recent years. We also see that our activities, fishing and aquaculture, are being challenged in the marketplace with schemes like certification, which are demanding more considerations. We also see on the horizon some form of evaluation of cumulative performance in some area-based evaluation, like an evaluation of a large ocean management area, or, you know, like the Gulf of Maine and so on, maybe done by NGOs, I don't know. But we see some evaluation of cumulative performance on the horizon. I think it's fair to say that our activities, fishing and other activities, will be evaluated with these three types of audit. It's happening now, essentially, and that will continue. So how to work this all in? I think attention needs to be paid to a common set of objectives and strategies which are derived from our acts, from our legal responsibilities, but also from the attributes and services that we as a community desire. We have choices here, but we have to articulate what it is we're after. If that's the case, then I think it should be possible to have nested plans for all of these activities inside some umbrella plan that articulates these objectives and looks at how they're being applied across the board. And if we do that, I think we will accomplish a lot of what has been a problem, what's been missing in the past. Now, I put forward this, it may seem a bit complicated, but I put it forward because I think there's a responsibility to show how we can go somewhere from here and have these things work. And there's two very major points about this. One is it builds on our existing structure. And it does add something. It adds a layer. It adds this umbrella that forces us to, or allows us to, apply a more comprehensive set of things across the board and to evaluate them in a cumulative way. And That would result in an ecosystem assessment. This outer loop might be done every 5 years or 10 years, while the inner pieces are done as they are now every year or two or few. So there is the point is, this may not turn out to be right, but it is one idea for a practical way of implementing some of this stuff. And I'll in terms of research going forward, if you buy this structure, and the reason for going into this is to say, where are we going, anticipate where we might be going, then there are some very specific research needs that are required. We need the metrics and indicators and reference points for this longer set of objectives. We also need decision support tools to allow us to evaluate trade-offs among those objectives. That's a very specific research need related to this more comprehensive view. We also need methods for evaluating cumulative impacts. No one in the world is doing that right. We need that. I'd like to turn now then to the Canadian Fisheries Research Network, because it was based on that structure that we embarked upon this collaboration to try to undertake research that allows us to make change in this country. And I was fortunate to have been asked to lead the development of the proposal, which is, and it was funded, and our network is doing some things. First of all, it's bringing together industry, academia, and government, specifically in collaborations that will answer very relevant research questions through collaborative work. It's also training students, the next generation of fisheries researchers and managers, and it's working towards finding some solutions to make a more vibrant, viable industry. The industry's priorities, when we did the consultations before we developed the proposal, were for things like this: sustainability, social acceptance, the evolving ecosystem-based management, socioeconomic viability, and fishing community well-being, a list that would be very similar to some of the things that have been discussed here. In other words, a sustainable industry in a changing landscape of management. And so we put together, and what was seen as being missing was bringing the academic component into an already close industry-government set of collaborations. So that was the objective, and we explicitly went for projects and for case studies that demanded that all three work together. And there's a range of collaborations: industry, academia, government, natural science, social science, coast to coast, linking diverse experiences, disciplines, and perspectives. A dozen universities across the country involved, and that's where, because it's NSERC funding, that's where the research is based. But as I say, it's all collaborative. And our vision is to reshape fisheries research by putting together these groups in collaboration. Because it was NSERC funding, the emphasis is natural science. But we recognize that we need research in social and management science and in engineering science, and that, in fact, some of the most interesting stuff is on the intersection of these three. And I have to say, our country has a problem funding some of that stuff that is between these areas. It doesn't fall in one camp or the other. It falls between the stools. And we've also worked on the process of collaboration. That's critical, and we're fostering close, long-lasting collaborations among previously disparate groups. It's taken a while to do that, but we're working hard on it, and we're using a process of facilitation to do that. I'm very proud in our emphasis on training. We're developing a cohort of students, postdocs, who will be different. They're being cross-trained in the methods and the appreciation of industry, academia, and government. And they will be a different breed. It'll be wonderful to see. The projects are diverse. They range from enhanced fisheries knowledge, getting more from the fishery to use in management, metapopulation dynamics of lobster, recruitment of lobster, a project based at Guelph on socioeconomic complexity in the Great Lakes, a project on evaluating strategies to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and energy use, a project based at Memorial on reducing seabed impacts of mobile gear, a project that George Rose leads on fisheries closures in ecosystem-based fisheries management, a project that Andrew Treitz leads at UBC on the impact of marine mammals on the recovery of salmon and some other important stocks, and a series of projects on management strategy evaluation as a method for integrating things into assessment and management based at UBC. And I have a set of brochures, and there's more on the web that outlines these projects in more detail. But I want to go for a few minutes into the project that I lead, which is most closely related to what we've been talking about in this meeting, and that is one on enhanced fisheries knowledge for an evolving management regime. It recognizes that the current and anticipated management change requires new information, new approaches, and new methods. And based on what I have said already in this talk about the importance of interdisciplinary research, it puts together a diverse set of academics, including mostly social scientists, with industry DFO in collaboration on this very issue. And the specific objectives for this project are to look at the emerging requirements for sustainability and then to say what knowledge do we need then for this emerging for these emerging requirements and what our capacity is and will be to deliver on that. The common unifying thread for this is to anticipate a more comprehensive evaluation of a fishery system. What will it look like? What can we anticipate that it will be? And to do this, we've adopted a very broad view of sustainability, and I want to read this because it's relevant to this meeting. A sustainable fishery respects the ecological integrity of the ocean and its resources, so an ecological part, is ethical, responsibly governed, economically viable, technologically appropriate, supports communities, draws on local cultural heritage and diverse knowledge systems, and enhances health and well-being and the public good. We've been working to date on a set of elements that would form the elements of candidate objectives going forward. And I won't get into the details of this except to show you that in addition to the conservation objectives, productivity, biodiversity, and habitat, with potential performance indicators, we have also proposed social and economic elements, sustainable communities, health and well-being, ethical fisheries, economic financial viability, distribution of access and benefits, regional economic benefits, and a set of institutional elements. And this draft framework of elements, each with performance indicators, which we're developing now, is very different than the type of evaluation we've seen to date in this country. And we're applying this in a series of case studies across the country to see if it works and to elaborate on the system. And I would end by saying that my hope is, or I would challenge us to think, whether that kind of an approach would help us answer this question, the question Bonnie asked of who will fish for it, how, why, and for whose benefit. I mean, this is a broader set of questions, and it implies to me that you need a specific set of objectives. Same thing with Zita's list of imperatives. If holding on to healthy community-based small boat fishery is an imperative, it needs to be translated into an objective. It needs to be an objective for management. And I would end by urging you to consider this. Rather than, as when I started with the department, looking only at productivity, biodiversity, and habitat in our evaluations, what if we used the longer list that is being researched in CFRN or that we've been talking about around this table? And what if we had a comparison of options related to that longer list when we made management decisions? What if that was explicit? What if it was public, right? That would change, I think, the debate. And I think it can be done. Diverse common objectives applied to all activities in an appropriate governance structure. A more rigorous, open approach to decision-making. But it requires action. It requires change. We need to change the system for that to be implemented. I think it's practical, but it requires change. In fact, I share the frustration that some have expressed that we've been around this block before because I, with Dan Lane, have suggested things like this going back a long time, and I know others in this room have done the same. But I sense at this meeting some impatience and some realization that we should take action. And I think that's the approach. And the research challenge that goes along with this, and this is my final slide, is just for this afternoon, is to articulate these objectives and these performance indicators and to then research participatory government regimes that we can actually implement and then shape policy to do that. I'll end there. Thank you.